Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Recorded the morning of August 17, 1972 in West Jordan Park, West Jordan, Utah. The main speaker is Mad Bear. This is recorded by Mary Ellen Sloan.
We of the North American Indian Unity Caravan are here in your territory to bring you a message that we hope you will heed. Before we do this, however, in the ancient way of our people, we must always give a proper prayer, an opening prayer. We usually do this in the Indian language. But because this caravan consists of approximately 50 Indian nations, and many of our white brothers and sisters, and also our black brothers and sisters do not understand the English, the Indian language, we're going to say it in English. We're going to make this an exception. We also would like to tell you that this prayer was going to be given this morning, but because there were not enough people at the ceremony, we decided that we will give it here so that everyone will know how the Indian respects the Creator and all living things upon our Mother Earth. At this time, I would like to call upon one of our Mohawk warriors from the Six Nations Indian Reservation, near Brantford, Ontario, in Canada. He has traveled a long ways to be here with you people, and he is going to give the opening prayer. I would ask that all you people stand, and if you have cigarettes in your mouth, take them out and butt them, please. And all concentrate in the words, the ancient words of our people to the Great Spirit. Alan Van Every.
Together as brothers and sisters, our minds should become as one, and we should first recognize each other. As I look about me here at this time, it seems that everyone is in a good health. Everyone is in good spirits. We must recognize each other's for this. So at this time, let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to each other that is standing all about you here right at this time. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to our Mother Earth that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. Our Mother Earth has given us many ways, many duties. It is every day that we stand on her, every night that we sleep on her. It is our Mother Earth that puts all the food on our tables so that we may stay healthy. It is our Mother Earth that we counsel on. She talks to us. Some people understand her language. A lot of people cannot. So at this time, let us recognize our Mother Earth. Let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to our Mother Earth for what she has given to us, so many of her ways and so many of her duties. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to, all the waters that lie on this Mother Earth. We call those waters cousins. And it is those waters that also have life, that also have spirit in. It is in all those waters that has the power to heal the sick. It is our medicine men that use those waters. It is those waters that every day we drink the water, it brings a satisfaction all about us to keep us from getting thirsty. It is those waters that us Indian people use in our sweat lodges to keep our bodies pure. There are so many other ways to use all these cousin waters. But at this time, let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to our cousin waters for what they have given to us, their duties and their ways. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. All the little stones, all the pebbles, all the rocks, and all those hillsides and mountains that live on this Mother Earth. It is to inside of those stones and those pebbles and rocks that there lies a spirit. For many, many thousands of years, generation after generation, our legends, our prophecies have been recorded on a lot of those rocks. And yet today, we still learn them. It is in a lot of those little stones that there is a special kind of value in some of them, that give a special kind of spirit to each one of us Indian people here. We use those little pebbles and stones as medicine stones, and they talk to us. It is in those mountains, in those hillsides that also have the power to speak, that have the power to talk to all each one of us here. And every once in a while we hear them by their volcanoes and other ways. So at this time, let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to all those stones, all those rocks and mountains and hillsides for all what they have given to all of us here. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is too another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. All the grasses, all the vegetables, all the plants that live on this Mother Earth. It is in those plants and in those grasses that there is a spirit, that there is life. It is in those plants that our medicine men use to heal our sick. And today, all over this world, the doctors and all these medical people use all these kind of herbs and plants. It is in those grasses and those plants that there is too a beauty, that when we look about Mother Earth, we see that beauty. We recognize that beauty, and we give it a thanksgiving. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to all those grasses, all those vegetables, all those plant life that lives on this Mother Earth, for all of the ways, all their duties that they have given to each one of us here. So be it, our mind. And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. All the bushes, all the shrubbery that lives on this Mother Earth. It is too in those bushes and shrubbery that there is a spirit, that there too is life. And in the summertime, when the harvesting season is on, we pick those berries, elderberries, raspberries, all kind of berries from all those bushes. And they keep us pure. And they keep us healthy. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to all those bushes, all those shrubbery that lives on this Mother Earth for their duties and their ways that they have given to each one of us here. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. All the tree life that stands on this Mother Earth. It is too in those trees that there is spirit, that there is life. There are many kind of trees. None of us here know all of them. But there are many kind of trees, and we use those trees for different, for special kind of ways. Each kind of tree. And to all of us people here from the East, as we hold as a special kind of tree, our maple tree. We hold that as a special kind of tree because in the early spring, we take their water, their sap, to purify our bodies, to use as medicine. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to every one of those trees that stand on this Mother Earth for all what they have given to us, their duties and their ways. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is too another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. All those different kind of animals that live on this Mother Earth. It is too in those animals that there is life, that there is spirit. And it is in each of those animals that has a special purpose on this Mother Earth. For many thousands of years, some animals have lived beside the native people on this side of Mother Earth. They have taught the native people many of their ways, many things that they should eat. It is those animals that there are a few of them that are very sacred to all of us people here. And from the East, the Iroquois people, it is as a special kind of animal we hold up the deer. Because the deer is a beautiful, beautiful animal. That deer only eats special kind of food. That deer, we use his antlers to put on our cheeks so that we recognize their authority. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to every one of those kind of animals for all what they have given to us, all the different kind of foods that they have put before us, and all their ways. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. All the different kind of birds that live on this Mother Earth. It is in each of those birds that there is spirit, that there too is life. And to all this native people all across this side of Mother Earth, as we hold as a special and sacred bird, the eagle. We hold that as a special bird because that eagle can fly the highest and he can see the farthest. He is a very beautiful bird. And that has been our symbol, and that has been the keeper of this land for many, many thousands of years. It is in that eagle that we use his feathers for prayer. Some other birds, we do that too. We use that eagle's feathers for protection. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to every one of those birds deserved from each one of us for all that they have given to us, their many ways and their many duties, and also the everlasting beauty in all of those birds. So be it, our mind. And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. The four brother winds that blow around us from the four directions. From the north comes the north wind. The north wind is a kind of purifier, and every winter we see that purifier. That snow is pure white. That is what purifies this Mother Earth. From the east come those warm rains and warm winds. They too are a purifier. It is through water that is also purified Mother Earth. And from the south come all those warm winds, and they too cleanse Mother Earth. They talk to us native people here, but too, only a few of them, those kind of people can talk to those winds. And from the west come all those thunder gods, thunder people. They too talk to all of us people here, but only few of these people here can understand. So at this time, let us acknowledge those four brother winds. Let us give them too a thanksgiving. And most of all, let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving, to give that acknowledgement and recognition to those four directions, to those four winds, for all that they have given to us. So be it, our mind. And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. Our sun that is shining above us today. We call that sun the grandfather. To some people, they call him the eldest warrior. To some people, he is called a grandfather. This is what we call him. Because he is the eldest of all the men. He is very wise and very old, and he knows many of the ways. He teaches us. It is our grandfather's sun that every morning, if he did not rise in the east, neither would we rise. That is his power that rises us in the morning, to make us go on another day. We see his power yet right now at this minute. We could see each other. We could see that beauty all around us. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to our grandfather's son for all that he has given to us. All of us here, so be it, our mind. And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. We call the night sun, Grandmother Moon. And it is our Grandmother Moon that she too watches over all this people that lives on this Mother Earth. She too has much, much power. And every month we see that power. We can feel it because she purifies all female life on this Mother Earth. It is our Grandmother Moon that can make all those big waters rise up and go back down again. That too is some of her power. And two, it is our Grandmother Moon that every year we plant our crops by. tells us when we should plant, so that we may have good crops. So again, let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to our Grandmother Moon for all what she has given to us, her many ways and her many duties. She has taught all of us here. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to another that we must also give a thanksgiving. We must also give an acknowledgement to all those stars that live in the sky world. Every night we see those stars, if it is not cloudy. It is those stars that to all of us people here, they tell us many things. Many of their ways we learn. It is in those stars that to some people, they believe that those stars are people that have gone on before us. It is in those stars that hold our prophecies too, that hold some of our legends. It is in those stars that a small group of them watch over our hunters, our men, as they go out to provide food for the people. There is many ways that we have learned from those stars in that sky world, and there is much power there. And most of all, we cannot ever forget, when we look up into that sky at night, how beautiful that sky is. There is so much beauty in all those stars. So at this time, let us again bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to every one of those stars for what they have given to us, their ways, their duties, and most of all, their everlasting beauty. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to another that we must also recognize, we must also give a thanksgiving to. We call, in my language, Sungatiso, which means the maker of all life, the great creator, or the great spirit, or God, he is all the same. But he is the maker of every one of us. It is through our great creator that we could see this beauty here today. It is through our great creator that we may hold a meeting as brothers and sisters here today. It is our great creator that had placed the native people on this side of Mother Earth and had given them instructions so that they should not want anything more. All they needed to do was live, to live happy, to live as brothers, to live united. Today, we do not see too much of that, but it is coming back. It is our great creator that has given us a path to follow, that has given us a way of life, that has given us a religion to follow. But yet today, we have so many of them, when there was only one. So at this time, let us recognize our great creator, or God, or great spirit. Let us bring our minds together as just one mind and give that thanksgiving and give that acknowledgement to our great creator that he so much deserves from each one of us here, every one of us. So be it, our mind.
Yeah.
And it is to another that maybe someone here has remembered something that I have left out of this prayer. I would ask that they would get that straight between their great creator or their God or great spirit, so that the meeting that takes place here today will be in a good spirit, will be in a good way. That is all the words I have to say at this time, Donald.
My dear brothers and sisters, I am very happy to have the opportunity of being here today. This is a wonderful audience. You don't know how thrilled I am. I can hardly hold the tears back. I've worked with these Indians for a long time.
We have traveled a long way, our caravan, in order that we might get here. We have met with a lot of opposition of sorts, mainly lacking of funds to carry on the caravan. Many of our people have had to turn and go back home because they didn't have enough money to be here. Others, their cars went broke on them. Their cars, they had to abandon them. or they had to take them back to get them fixed. But we are here today under our grandfather the Son, who is our witness, that we have come here to deliver a message to all of you people, to all of our brothers and sisters, to tell you that there are many things that are happening in this world now, and that we who are close to the forces of nature, close to the land and the spirits, and close to the Creator, know how to interpret these things according to our prophecies. Our caravan, to begin with, began on August 21st, 1967, at the Tonawanda Seneca Indian Reservation near Basem, New York. We called an emergency council, an emergency convention. We sent notices to all of our brothers and sisters to come and meet with us because we saw a great problem facing our people. At that time, there was a bill which was introduced into Congress. It was known as the Indian Resources and Development Act of 1967. Many of our nations referred to this bill as the Termination Bill or the Omnibus Bill, because it was so broad in its language. And had this bill passed today, there would not have been an Indian reservation in the United States. We would have lost all of the very little land which our people now still hold on to and still value so dearly. We Indian people believe that this earth is our mother, that without her help, all life would die. Everything comes from our mother, the earth. Many times our people have neglected to take care of our mother earth. Many times our other brothers and sisters from across the waters have not had that feeling from the soul and the heart and from the mind to the attachment of our mother, the earth. And there has been many things that have happened to this country. There has been vast areas of thousands and thousands of acres of topsoil that has been ruined because of ruthless mining and all these other things. Our mother, the earth, has suffered terribly. Mines have gone in and taken the minerals from her ground. The wealth of this resources have not been put to proper use. Today, my people, though few in number, representing less than 0.5% of the population of this land, are forced to live in poverty. Many of my people do not even enjoy 3 square meals. Many have no clothes. Many have no shoes. Many are hampered by other things that are respected by the economic world. But we still are rich, rich in spirit, rich in heart, rich with a feeling of closeness with the Creator. And according to our prophecies, one day we will stand again as a mighty nation. We are now gathering our people as it was planned in 1967. And this North American Indian Unit caravan has toured this nation and will have completed on September the 4th of this year at the Caughnawaga Mohawk Indian Reservation near Montreal, Quebec. We will have completed 157,000 miles of travel. We have met with many nations and many people, and I must tell you people here, the community, that this is the first time that we have permitted a meeting with non-Indian people. We want you to know this. Time is short. We have to tell you these messages. We are involved, according to our prophecies, with the responsibility of gathering of our Indian nations to salvage something of this world, which is about ready to be destroyed. We have to do this duty. This is our obligation. And our chiefs and leaders have told us that we would face many trials. We would face a lot of trouble and difficulties, hardship. And this has happened. They have told us that as we departed, we would see this country as it really is. We would see the people. We would recognize the truth. We would see the fulfillment of prophecies. We would go through high winds, floods, hailstorms, fires, and all these different forces of nature that are now being activated. As we left Albuquerque, New Mexico, as a matter of fact, as we were meeting at our last meeting in Albuquerque with our Indian brothers and sisters, and many of our white brothers and sisters, and the other races, we told them that we expected to go through hailstorms, and flood, and mudslides, and all these different things. We weren't 2 hours out of Albuquerque when we ran into the most violent of hailstorms. It was so bad that cars and trucks were off of the highway. They were forced off. Even our car was forced off. We thought that the glass in our windshields were going to crack. But this was all prophesied. As we entered the town, the city of Gallup, New Mexico, a big flood had just went through that town moments before. There were bulldozers and shovels and people in all walks of life shoveling out the mud from their stores. Millions of dollars of damage were done in Gallup, New Mexico. This was all prophesied. Because the Great Spirit is now reclaiming this land, purifying this land, and punishing those people who have been abusing our Indian people. Gallup, New Mexico had a very bad record for doing this. They have misused and cheated our people too long. The Great Spirit is not going to permit this any further. Our prophecies say that one day a great white serpent would come upon the land. He would be choking the life's breath out of our people, the Ongwehuwe or Ikwehewe, meaning the real people. When suddenly from the north, the great red serpent would circle around him. The white serpent would be momentarily blinded, confused, bewildered. And he would release the Indian, who would fall to the ground, almost as a helpless child. The Indian would then be too weak to crawl, too weak to stand, too weak to walk. It would be difficult for him to get his energy back. It is said that he would regain his strength, and slowly he would crawl south to the land of the hilly country. And after a while he would get his strength and begin to walk, and then he would move swiftly in the gathering of his nation. And in this hilly country, he would renew his strength, he would renew his instructions and his obligations that he had made to the Great Spirit at the time when this earth was first created. And that is the time when the Indian people would begin to rise. It is said that a young boy, a choice seer, would be born. And this young choice seer would be in his teens when the gathering of the nations take place. That this choice seer would have the power to guide, to speak, and to lead thousands and thousands of his people who would number as a blade of grass according to our prophecy. We have been through most of this prophecy now. It is said that our people were not to involve themselves in the war that was to take place upon this land between the serpents. It is also said that a black serpent dripping with salt water, would come from the south. He would be swimming very swiftly. He would be guided as though guided by a burning spear. And he would reach our eastern shore and stand there to get his breath. As he stands there, he notices that the red serpent reaches around the back of the white serpent and pulls from him a hair. And a great northern wind takes it south into the waiting arms, the waiting hand of the black serpent. The black serpent catches this hair, closes his hand, and after a while he opens it up. This hair turns into a woman, a white woman, who tells him things that he knows to be true, but he wants to hear them again. When she finishes, he takes her and gently, with great respect, places her on a great rock. And he becomes so infuriated at what he has heard that he makes a beeline for the north and becomes involved in this fight between the red and the white serpent. Our messenger that told us this prophecy has also said that when he enters this battle, he will be battle-wise and swift, fast, hard to beat. That the battle between the serpents would become so violent that the mountains would split, the rivers would boil, and the fish would turn upon their bellies. There would be no leaves in the tree. Strange bugs and beetles and insects would begin to attack all human beings who are not protected. Even the snakes, the reptiles, and the animals would turn and attack. These will be guided by the forces of nature. It is said that only those who are strong and still follow the ancient instructions, the way of life, would be saved. It is also said that many of our own Indian people would die because they had neglected the sacred instructions. It is said that many nations would come to the south, to the hilly country, and gather with the gathering of our people. They would be received and protected after they have renewed their covenant with the Great Spirit. And it is said that we would hear for miles and miles the screaming and the crying of our people who are trying to make it back. Some of them will never make it. It'll be too late. We see these things happening now. We see the forces of nature active. Rapid City, South Dakota is an example. The flash floods that took hundreds and hundreds of lives. They are still finding the bodies high in the tree trunks. They are still finding the bodies under debris and broken homes. We believe that the true figure is way higher than 500 people. And the flood hit again. There are many stories among our people. They were warned that this thing was going to happen. Immediately following the Rapid City disaster, five states on the eastern seaboard faced the same type of flood. Heavy rains, rivers swollen over, dams began to break. Millions and millions of dollars of damage were recorded. President Nixon declared this a national disaster area, as he did Gallup, New Mexico, as he did Rapid City. I was informed this morning that within 50-mile radius of this meeting place now, the forces of nature have been active within the past 3 days. 30,000 acres of vegetables, corn, tomatoes, and crops have been destroyed by the most violent of hailstorms. It is told to me shortly after breakfast and our other leaders that the corn is unrecognizable at this moment. The long green leaves of the corn have been torn to shreds. It looks just like strings hanging down. The tomatoes have been all destroyed. The hail has cut through these tomato plants, and also lightning storms, which is the handiwork of the Great Spirit as he attempts to purify this land, has caused many fires. And purification can only come about by wind, water, and fire. That is what is happening to this land. That is why we tell you there is not much time left. You must get your people together. You must believe this word, because all you have to do is look around and see what has happened. We are living in a dangerous time. If you continue to ignore all that the Great Spirit has given to our people for the benefit of every one of us, if you continue to ignore this, you will have to pay the supreme price. If you do not get back and consider the first people, my Indian people, you will have to pay this price. The Great Spirit has placed us here upon this land with very special instructions. He has told us that this Mother Earth was handed to us by Himself for the protection and for the benefit of our future generations, of our the ever-coming faces, of our children's children who are not yet born. Today, most of this land has been taken away from us. Most of this land has been stolen from my people. Today, we wander through the cities. We find hundreds and hundreds of our people, full-bloods, who have no nation to claim, who have no land to stand on, who have no religious way of life, because everything goes back to Mother Earth. This is wrong. This is one of the great crimes that has been perpetrated against my people. This has to be straightened out. Our people must have land, because the sacred land, sacred fires, sacred ceremonies all go together. Without one, the other cannot operate, cannot function. It is a sad day when we see our own native people, our native Indian people, hitchhiking on these highways, walking through these cities as vagrants in their own land. The Great Spirit gave this land to us. It belongs to us. And if it is not, if this mess is not straightened out soon, many lives will be lost by the forces of nature, because the Great Spirit will take this land back, purify it, and return it to our people. This is our prophecy. For 20 years, we have studied all the prophecies of our nation. We have listened to them. And basically, they're all the same. To our Indian people, we do not involve ourselves in real estate or the selling of land, because it's too sacred to us. Every part of this country is sacred to my people. Every hillside, every valley, every plain and grove has been hallowed by some fond memory or some sad experience of my tribe. And even the rocks, which seem to lie dumb as they swelter in the sunshine along the silent seashore, thrill with the memories of past events connected with the lives of my people. The very dust under your feet responds more lovingly to our footsteps than to yours, because it is the ashes of our ancestors. And our bare feet are ever conscious of the sympathetic touch. For the soil is rich with the life of our kindred. The noble, brave, glad, happy-hearted maidens, and even the little children who rejoiced here for a brief season, and whose very names are long forgotten, still love this beautiful world that gave them being, and often return to visit, guide, and comfort us. Day and night cannot dwell together. The red man has ever fled the approach of the white man, as the changing mist on the mountainside flees before the blazing sun. However, today, we come here. We extend our hand of friendship and brotherhood to all people who are created by the same Creator. We ask that you open our hearts, that you open your hearts, that we put our minds together as one and try to straighten out these great wrongs which were and are still being perpetrated against my people. Many of our people have recently had some very strong visions, some visitations, some great messages, some dreams, which have told us that time is ever so short, that you must right now straighten this out between yourself, the Creator, and my people, or you will be lost. You must recognize what our people are doing. We are gathering our nations together. You must gather yours together to return back to the spiritual way of life, to return back as the Creator had intended, or this whole world will be destroyed. Only those that are strong, those that still follow the sacred ways, will be saved, as it happened in the other worlds before this. We have traveled this country and have seen many things that remind us of what took place in those other worlds. We have seen volcanic ash. We have seen volcanic stones. We have seen signs where the whole land was once covered with water. We have saw where the ice age hit, the continental divide. These are evidence of what we are talking about. We have recordings, rock carvings, that are spread out all over this land. And for 20 years, our people have been gathering the information on these. Thomas Bunyaka, one of our religious leaders, has many pictures of these rock carvings that will one day stand against any deed on this land. These rock carvings tell of a beautiful way of life that our people once enjoyed, when we were all in harmony with the Great Spirit. It records the events of things that have happened. And we can trace these rock carvings and prove to the world that our people were here on this land that never came from Asia, but were here and placed here by the Great Spirit. We're living and enjoying a civilization so far advanced from anything that the world has to offer now, that we were living here at least 500,000 years before Christ. Recently, in a documentary by MGM, which premiered on April the 27th, entitled In Search of the Lost World, they presented before the TV audiences of the world some proofs that the Indians even had launching pads for the interspace travel. They had vehicles which were propelled by an unknown force which was generated as our spaceships traveled interplanetary. We have evidence to prove that we have the best calendar that was ever created by man, and that is all races. We have evidence to prove that we have contributed over 3/4 of all the edible fruits, vegetables, and plants of this land, and of the Great Spirit, ever took back the many, many gifts of the American Indian to the world, civilization would perish within a matter of hours. We call upon all of you people to listen closely as we discuss our prophecies. But let me tell you that I only gave you a portion of our prophecy, because in order for me to give it to you properly, it would take 4 days, and we do not have this amount of time. So what I tell you is that we believe that there are many things going to happen soon. Many have already happened. It is said that when our nations began to rise, that we would even take the minds of the children of the white serpent. We would see many things happening. We would see our pine trees begin to die from the tops down. We would see them also bend down the tops and face Mother Earth like a cane. To us, we know how to read these signs. To us, this indicates that the spirit of that tree can no longer live in this polluted air and has bent down and asked Mother Earth to take it back. To us, this means earthquake. And it has happened time and time again wherever this tree has bent down. Our people watch these signs. Right now we're asking our people to leave the cities and to go back to your Indian way of life, because all hope seems to be lost. This country is in trouble. It has lost the spiritual contact with the Creator. Most of the people worship mammon or money. And we realize that here in Salt Lake City, or in this valley where the Mormons first came, that their Bible or their book and their prophecies refers to my people. We know that the Indian people are held in esteem by some, but we must warn you that some segments of your Mormon church and other churches refuse to consider the very message that this book is made of. This is disastrous. We hope that your church, you people, will all get together, every denomination, and review the prophecies and live according to the teachings, or you will destroy your temple. We have had recent dreams and visitations pertaining to this. We were here recently, and we have had discussion with some of the leaders. And at this time, my heart is heavy when I tell you that 3 days after we left this territory, as prophesied, the head of the Mormon Church died, Fielding Smith. There will be many of these things happening to the leaders. We hope that the church will back these people. They have many pressures upon them. But gather your minds together. Do not any longer participate in programs or actions that are aimed to destroy my people. Do not participate any longer in this genocide of my people. Too many of my people have died. There was a time when my people covered this whole land as the waves of a wind-ruffled sea covers its shell-paved floor. But that time has long since passed away, with the greatness of tribes now almost forgotten. I will not dwell upon nor mourn over our untimely decay, nor reproach my pale-faced brothers with hastening it, for we too may have been somewhat to blame. Youth is impulsive. When our young men grow angry at some real or imaginary wrong, and disfigure their faces with black paint. Their hearts also become disfigured and turn black. And then they are often cruel and relentless and know no bounds. And our old men are unable to control them. Thus it has ever been. Thus it was when your people first began to push my people westward. But let us hope that the hostilities between the red man and his pale-faced brother may never return. We would have everything to lose and nothing to gain. Your religion was written on tablets of stone by the iron finger of an angry god, lest you might forget it. Our religion are the dreams of our old men, given to them in the silent hours of night by the Great Spirit, and is recorded in the hearts of my people. There are many things that we could tell you about the way in which we believe. But we know that according to our prophecies, the Great Spirit has told us that this land will be returned to our people. And we hope that not too much life, or none perhaps, would be destroyed in this process. But we must all get together and make it right with the Creator before it's too late. We have other speakers that will be talking, telling about the prophecies. Before I conclude my speech, I would like to call next upon Thomas Banyaka, the interpreter of the traditional religious Hopi Indians of Arizona. And we are going down into the Hopi country to talk about unity and also to discuss these prophecies and to attend a sacred snake dance, which is our call, religious call for rain, our Indian way of life. Before I close, I want to tell you people that we never expected that you would receive us as you have. Your food was wonderful. You people have really received us, and this has touched our heart. This to us is an indication that we truly can counsel together with the Great Spirit as our witness, that we can straighten out these things before it is too late. Again, I thank your good mayor, our good friend Zula Brinkerhoff, and all of the women who helped to make this reception and this meeting possible. May the Great Spirit continue to be with us in this meeting and continue to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds. And let's all hold hands together as brothers and sisters created by one Creator. Thank you very much.
Oh,
Interpreter for the religious and traditional Hopis of Arizona. I want to thank Matt Bear for giving us a good message, which is very much close to the way our Hopi people have prophesied and have knowledge of these ancient prophecies, warnings, and instructions from the Great Spirit. I have, for many years, helping my Hopi people in interpreting some of these knowledges to the outside world, or meeting government officials in protesting against certain things that my elders do not wish to take place in our sacred homeland at this time because of these prophecies and warnings. And I have also helped on this unity movement, which Matt Bear have just mentioned. For the last 20 years, we have traveled many miles in this land, in the eastern coast, the western coast, middle of this country, meeting many people and compare our knowledge, our languages, our religious knowledge, and even our clan systems. We find many of our people still remember them. And we also find many places that young people have lost their languages or their identity, or they became to be ashamed of their own identity because of the way they have been trained in other schools, through the government schools or through other ways that were pressed upon them. And we find many of them have lost their land, home base, and they're completely torn from their own people. It seems that our fulfillment of these prophecies are really taking place today. In 1948, I met with my elders in one of the villages called Songopa, a village on Second Mesa in Hopi land, where they set 4 days, and in their own language, men of 80 or 90 or 100-year-old men sit around talking about these things. And that was a great privilege for me to be there listening to my own people, talking in their own language, telling things that I've read in world religious book, and I know that they are telling the truth. And since then, I have taken this knowledge to other areas and found that they also know about these things. Now, in Iraq, that is situated just east of Old Raibi, there's a huge rock standing there, and on it there is a drawing which contains many of the knowledges that the elders spoke of in Songopa village in 1948. And it was about 3 or 4 years later that one man from Uraibi took me there and showed me this drawing. The figures here are all in the rock. These are the symbols that I put on because there are some things connected with the knowledge in this drawing here. I will just quickly go over the things that were told at that meeting. I've already formed a picture in my mind when they're talking. And my elder religious leader, David Manango, sitting back here, was also there, and he know quite a number of these things, but as we've said, we cannot be able to tell you all the details at this time. But we mentioned about another world someplace that was good for a time when people went along the law of the Great Spirit and respected nature and lived a good life. But somewhere they started inventing by copying or trying to do what birds can do. They fly and they fish, they can swim and they can travel at night like birds or bees. They can find their way, and they started to find ways to do the same thing, and pretty soon they did invent many things, and then that itself torn down their spiritual part of their life. They neglected their spiritual things, and using that man-made things, their own ideas, and using that power, they started destroying nature, and then their life becomes so corrupted that life was ready for destruction. But fortunately, there are few sincere people, righteous people left there. Elders who held to this spiritual path were saved from that. And we who are living today in this world are the descendants from those people. And we came to this continent through the power of those people who are able to adhere to the knowledge of the Great Spirit. And here we met the Great Spirit. This figure represented that. And those people who have this knowledge have left their picture writings wherever they went upon this continent, four directions. Sometimes they leave a circle with two dots as eye and a mouth. Another time you see this whole figure. Those that represent the Great Spirit, we call him Master in our language. And he's holding the spiritual path or the life that was his here in his hand, and that's the life that he placed in the hands of the leaders who came to him from another world and told him that as long as they follow the instructions, adhere to it, not try to change it anymore, they will have a long life. So this lower line is called a spiritual path, or the path of the Great Spirit. As long as we follow that, we will have a long, good life. But he knew in the hearts of people that some of them may start to change again, like they did in another world, and destroy that life. But in order that this life will not be destroyed totally this time, among the group that was before the Great Spirit, he commissioned three people, three nations, who would be given power and authority to develop things much better than the others, so that they can use that to warn us later when the majority of the people are start going off the wrong direction, and warn them and shake them up. And we're almost telling them, now you people are not following the instructions again. This is what's going to happen to you. and it'll shake us up real hard, and many people and property will be destroyed there two times. But the third one will be the final one. And so the old people pointed out these circles that will happen to us in two times in this period of life as we go along. But before we leave, he let us go on our way, on our own way. After giving us all instructions, he become invisible. We cannot see him, but he's around, listening, watching, and protecting us, as long as we follow the instructions. But he said, the people who are custodian of this sacred stone tablet, and we still have them with us. But our white brother was also given a set of stone tablets. He was directed to go towards the east direction, across the great waters, to the directions where the sun now rises. And he will develop his land over there and develop his ability to record and to invent things, and someday to come over here to look for his other brother here, who is holding this land in a spiritual way with songs and rituals, so self-purifying physically and mentally, and through different ceremonies, so that this land and life will continue on its natural course. Every living thing will have its own natural development, so that we will keep this land in that way. So we have kept that in that state. This land was beautiful. There were green valleys. There were plenty of trees, animals, and birds. Clear rivers, springs. Everything was good in good order. Then our white brothers start coming. And now we were warned that if he have changed or turned away from the spiritual things, he may know something about it, but we will know that he has started to change or do things on his own way. He will bring to us another symbol, because before we departed, he gave us a symbol, a circle, which has no end. It also represented the spiritual path. There's no end to that. So that's why when we dance in the ceremony, we always form a circle to remember that we are adhering to that. But if our white brother have turned away from these instructions, he will bring to us another symbol. He may know something about these religious instructions also, but he has started to change. So he will bring us another symbol, referred to that as a cross. So they told us, when our white brother comes, we must watch him very closely. Do not listen to his sweet tongues, but watch his deeds. See what he does with what he has brought to us, the inventions that he will bring to us, the new ideas he may bring to us, now even the new religion he may bring to us. See what he does to us with that, not what he says. So we were warned that not to fall for things right away. And if we did, then there'd be a world-shaking event take place somewhere. So this rectangular shape up here represents everything that we have here. Religious life, everyday life, and village life, everything was placed on that. Then we went on. And this represents thousands of years or more on this path here. Then our white brother did came to this continent looking for his brother, supposed to. And our Indian brothers down South Central America went and meet them. They knew that they were going to come. They knew that their white brothers couldn't come with different things. And they did find that they bring this symbol. And they welcome him as a brother would to another brother. They gave him food and lodging and did everything to make him feel at home. But because he has already started to invent things and he started to change things, and he bring this symbol, he may talk about those things, but it wasn't very long when our brothers were almost wiped out down there. Many of them still hiding up in the mountain or deep jungle, waiting for the right brother to come along to really help them. Many years later, another white brother came from the eastern shores in this country. Again, our eastern brothers knew that the white brother came, so they went and meet him. They were hungry, they were starving, they were suffering during the winter months. So our Indian brothers went and welcomed them. They gave him food and lodging and showed him everything. They welcomed him as a brother would to another brother. But because they also bring another symbol,
Again, they start march across the country, disturbing their life forcibly. In some places, to kick up their tongue, or some places, they just merely went and took things that belonged rightfully belonged to them. They went clear across the land like that, moving our people to the western edges of land. There's many stories in between that. So this first symbol of a figure of man here represented the first people who came to us and told us, now your ways is no good, your religion is no good, your food and everything is no good. Now I've got better things, I've got better invention. Now you take these and follow me, I'll give you a better life. But those are material things that he will bring to us. So instead of joining us at that moment, we were to let him go on his own path. We call it upper road, or material path. Man makes things that he's going to follow. So later, many of our people fell for that. So there was a world-shaking event took place. Later, another man appeared that's representing a new development, or better equipment or invention of different times, more advanced things. Like they said, they would bring carriages that would be pulled by animals first. Later, that carriage would be run by itself. And later, there would be road in every direction from our villages. Or there would be a road in the sky. Or there would be a time where we would be talking to each other through cobwebs, and they couldn't understand what that meant. But it was telephone lines. And they were talking about these things. These things will be brought about at this period. And then another man came and they will show us much better things. And those are inventions like road in the sky, that means airplane carrying people. People will start to travel up in the air. And by that time there'll be someone inventing the closest I could interpret in Hopi, the way they describe something very small, that they refer to as a gourd full of ashes. So I say the gourd of ashes, that it will be so powerful that if man can ever allow that to drop on the earth someplace, it will boil or burn great area where nothing will grow for many years, and everything will turn to ashes. Someone is going to do that in this life. And when we see that event take place, we know that time is near for the final purification day that is coming, the third circle on the other end, that we are getting close to that time. Whoever has done that, he's in for trouble on the other end, because the Great Spirit warned us not to do that, but we had went on that far, destroying things and nature and people. And the third one would be the last one who will bring about more advanced scientific thing, inventions. By that time we will be flying here and there real fast, quickly. We get over to another country, or we could stay underwater a long period of time, or we could go to every corner of this earth. We're trying to disturb everything, and pretty soon we'll be messing with moon and stars. And we are warned not to bring anything from the moon down, because when we do that, then we have started to interfere with the balance of nature. Everything in the universe was set in good balance. But mankind has gone that far and started to disturb things, and many things we're going to have trouble on, that we will face on this Mother Earth. This was warned to us at this period. So there's a line now coming down. That zigzag line in the corner represents man's invention in technical knowledge and man's idea of better life. He will try this, he will try that. It's not going to work because he has lost his spiritual foundation, and it will only end up either by destroying ourselves with what we invent, by burning things down so that nothing will grow. Severe winter may come, or great earthquake, or even great flood would cover this whole land, wiping out everything. It will end there. But if we find these things that, yeah, it's true, that it's coming to pass, it is time that we come back to the spiritual path or search for it and find it. So there's a line coming back down to the lower, or the real life of the people here. And whoever finds his way back when the last purification takes place on this continent here, because they said, we start from here, we went all over the world, and we are coming back here, but it seems to be that we cannot find one another, sit down together, materially and spiritually, that we are trying to disturb everything. And you, white brothers, your duty is to correct these things, to stop it. Your duty is to see that this spiritual thing is not destroyed. Now, it's up to you to do that. Otherwise, there's a great purifier who will be rising up by the Great Spirit soon, whom he has commissioned at the very beginning when we start out, who will then use all the power and might that they have given to invent at this time, who have used that to warn us through time. The third one, when rises, they will join all his power and might together, and as one they will come to this continent quickly, before they destroy everything on this continent, before they destroy the people who are holding on to the spiritual way, this light and life. They will come here and put a stop to it. If you people who have this knowledge of inventing things and making only money and making profits out of it, destroying world, destroying people, destroying nature, if you cannot stop it, then someone else has to come and will do it with power and might, which the Great Spirit will give them. This is what is coming now to our Indian people all over this continent. It's new, the time is short, and our Hopi prophecy foretold that we must find these people. We must tell these people. We must tell all people, because we all are now in the way that you express it. We are all in the same boat now. We're all going to face this. So the third one is already here, that's giving us all the gadgets that you have. You have electric power. You want more electric power. You want more inventions of different time gadgets. Even you wanted an electric toothbrush. You want to have everything. It seems like you're getting to a point like the Hopi prophet. You may have to plug yourself to a wire and run around and without hardly any effort on your part. We are getting to that period where we can't even walk 2 blocks to get groceries, and we don't want to use our 2 hands and feet anymore. We want to go up in the elevator nicely on a stairway. We don't want to walk anymore. These things are told, and our life will be so that many of our young people will not listen to their parents, and the parents will be neglecting their children. Teenagers will be having babies. Babies will be born with a full set of teeth in their mouth, or they'll be walking when they shouldn't be. Many things have been prophesied. It's going to be revealing to us at this period. Then the nature is going to be active. There'll be much greater earthquakes, more floods, more wind, more lightning. Flash floods will become more destructive every year. As we cannot straighten ourselves, it will get us in more trouble along that line. So we are going to face many of these things. These are warning to us at this period. Now the last thing that will happen would be the purifiers who would come at the last moment to put a stop to this. If we, who are so smart now, we can invent many things. We have so many scientific knowledge and technical knowledge, but we cannot even clean the pollution that is now coming from every direction to this area. Rivers are being polluted. Oceans are being polluted. We are digging into our Mother Earth and digging out so fast that pretty soon things are going to happen so fast also. Nature is not going to stand very much more. And these are the things that are coming. And if we cannot stop it, then someone else have to come and really put a stop to it with all the power and might that will be given to them. So this last period represents the last purification that will take place on this continent. The plant corn on the other side and the cane represents long life, a good life. Whoever comes out of that purification will meet the Great Spirit again, because he met us here, gave us this instruction, he went away. Now, after this is cleansed, this land is cleansed, then he will come and meet us on the other side, because I'm the first here and I gave all his knowledge instruction. I let you go on your way, but I'll come to you at the last, another end. See how many of you did follow my instructions, and I will meet them on the other end. But there will be a lot of things will happen here. So we were wondering what did all this mean, and I questioned my elders. Who are the people who are chosen from among the people to shake us up 2 times? Well, the only thing that they told me, that we have a sacred gold rattle on it with a symbols are drawn, and every ceremony that we have, when we start to sing and dance, they would rattle at once. And they'd sing some song, and then rattle again and stop. Those that have that symbol on it will do that to the world 2 times. And it was surprising that this symbol was drawn on in black. And this symbol around it representing the symbol of the sun. And those nations who have that symbol would do that to us 2 times. And they will go through that self-purifying. They will almost destroy themselves. But out of it, a new generation will be rising with more power and more understanding, more knowledge of what is their duty in this world. They will get ready for the future events that will take place. Because when the third one rises, they only refer to the third one. We don't know who that would be yet, but it will be the man with a red cap or red cloak or red hat. He will have many people with him, a great nation of people, and he will have no religion but what they have started out with as a people. And they will invent many things also. They will go to many scientific development, technical knowledge, everything, inventions of all type will be produced by this people. When he rises, these other two who have already shook up 2 times, almost destroy themselves, will pull all their power and might, and together they will come to this continent quickly. Come here for breakfast, they say. And they will have some invention that will be thrown on us that will paralyze all man-made machinery of every type. Cars, airplane, gun, all factory machine, everything come to a standstill. And that then the people will rain from the sky. And it will take only 1 day to get control of this continent. And that is when they're going to gather people here and there. And if there's one Indian leader who still spiritually is holding on to this spiritual path, those four corner areas have special meaning. Spiritual leaders who are holding on to this, even one man, to them, these spiritual leaders, I mean the purifiers, will gather people and will ask questions. What are these people been doing to you? I gave them their duty to do, come and help you with these inventions, this knowledge, and this duty that I gave them. What are they doing to you? And then their leader will have to tell all that misery, all the persecution, all the trouble that has been done to him by these people, he will have to tell it. And it will be up to the purifier to do what he wants to do with them. But the supreme punishment would be, they're like these people up here. These heads are not jointed, but I put them in there. That would be their supreme punishment. And there's a faint figure on the other end represent one of our own people who have joined them, trying to mislead their people into another life. They will also get punishment. So these are the warnings to us. And this symbol, somebody called swastika symbol, represents to the people, the Hopi, the very center of every living thing on this earth. To the Hopi, everything is alive. There's power in the movement, in the everything. That is a male. And the other symbol is a female. And these two forces keep this life going on its natural course, natural reproduction of everything. But once we disturb that also, then we are on our way to severe trouble, because if we disturb either male or female reproductive power, then we are destroying the very the beginning of life of everything. So we must not do that, they said, but it seems that we are getting into that part already. And we also know that man will start to invent things or make people themselves. Or they're going to interfere with everything. The plant is growing in a natural way, but you want to change it and make it look different. If there are people here, a natural way, but you want to change them in a different way, see what happens. You want to just look into everything and see if you can make it much better than what the Great Spirit put out. But you're not going to make it, because that is not the way we were told to do. But we are going that far. And many things happening today. We see nature as very active today because of man's disturbance of nature so much. So these are the things, and here's a bow and arrow, which is not part of the spiritual instructions or teaching. That is just a man-made thing, but it was to give our people something to gather food for themselves, not to use on people or anything, but course, each living thing has a natural way of defending himself at the very last moment. So the Great Spirit is watching over us, and these are the symbols that represent many things to us. And I know that many of you would not accept this, or you will doubt it, or will just laugh about it, but the Hopi elders who told us, I sincerely believe that they are telling the truth. And they have a great message, not only for the Hopi, not only for my native people in this land, but for all, the whole world, because they know the time is coming that we will gather together, all of the people like this here, and tell this, and see how many of you people have knowledge of this, how many of you are trying to find a way away from these destructive forces or way of life that will lead us to destruction. How many of you are really our white brothers whom were separated from us, that you're going to do the right thing at this moment? But if you don't, well, then many things are going to happen. For this reason, when the Peabody Coal Company come into our sacred area, that Four Corner area represents a very spiritual center for the heart of our mother. They went in there with illegal tricks, using some of a half-educated Hopi young men, and have them sign a paper they don't understand, not even telling the rest of people, and gave them a permit to go up in this Four Corner area and start pit mining coal. And that is going right into the heart of our Mother Earth. And I'm very sorry to say that one of your own members of the church, one of your own attorneys is doing that to us at this very moment, John S. Boyd. And we need to stop this at this very moment. All this strip mining, all the pollution that will be created by putting up 7 plants along the Colorado River, it's going to destroy life, plants, animals, rivers, everything's going to be polluted. This is the time that man should stop and look back and see what you have done with all the scientific knowledge, technical knowledge. You have created all pollution. Now use that knowledge to clean that air, clean that river, put that forest in order again, the soil, and then come in with that way so that we will have a good place to have a place they hope you refer to as a refuge. So if anything happens out there, you have a place to go to. But if you bring that pollution into this area, there's no safe place. And that is what the Hopi say. This is the last stages for us. At this moment, it's up to us who have this knowledge and understanding, who have the ability to stop this thing. It's up to you to do everything in your power to do it now, or else the great fear fire is going to come and ask questions, why didn't you do it? They told you this thing. Why don't you go and help them? Stop. Why don't you stop it? So these are some things that we are very much concerned about in the Hopi country. Now these people are invited to come into this Hopi land. Next meeting will be from 19th to 24th. This will be an all-Indian meeting, because this is the first time that the different tribal leaders will be coming into the oldest continuous inhabited village in this country, Oraibi, where this knowledge is kept, where the sacred stone tablet is kept, and where these leaders are holding on to this for us. Now we want all of our people to gather there and see if we can work out something so that we and you people could get together someplace and put a stop to some of these things. Now there's so many things I could tell you in this, but I will not go into detail now. But I only want to tell you that I was very happy to meet the Six Nation leaders, which Matt Bear represents as a spokesman for Six Nations of Iroquois Confederacy for a long time. And Chief Beeman Logan, one of the leaders who helped to start this movement, is not here today, but he was here before. And with Jeanette McClog, Edith McClog of the state of Washington, Tulalip Reservation, and Mildred Rhodes, Rolling Thunder, Buster McCurdy, and many other leaders in this area were helping us in this movement. And we have many nations coming into this. We hope to reach out to our brothers in Central and South America soon, because this is the prophecy now coming along the way where we will bring our people together to rise up as a nation again on a spiritual path. And whoever other nations are here to help will join with us, because we are not binding ourselves to any other man-made things. The Hopi Nation stand, whom I represent, as a sovereign nation, who have never made a treaty with the United States government, who have never been brought into that area by any nation. We were there long before the Columbus came over and called us Indians. We're not Indians, we're Hopis, we're Navajos, Paiutes, and we are here still living on to, holding on to the land the Great Spirit told us to. So in order to bring this knowledge, we have a chance to go to Stockholm to meet other people in foreign countries. And in order to get there, of course, the United States has laws that we should be supposed to get a passport from the state government to go to other countries. But I met a talk with my elders and told them that you represent the sovereign nation, that you have no treaty with the United States government, you have made no allegiance to any nation, you are still here as a sovereign power. So why don't we make up our own passport and go over there? Every nation that came to our continent, to our home, make their own passport. They make their own laws. They make their own things. And they went on and traveled to other nations. We have just as much right and authority and power to do the same thing. So we made our own passport, which our elders helped put in the breath of life, the eagle feathers, and putting the warning and our pictures and our message in there. And it was taken over across. We were accepted and entered in Stockholm in Denmark. And they were so concerned about us coming back to the United States, because the United States may not allow us to come back to our own country. And they even sent us a word that we cannot enter unless we pay $25. And they even sent a letter now to us that we should pay $25 for coming into this country without proper passport. I don't know what proper passport, and we thought that our own passports are proper things. So we are not thinking about paying this fine or whatever they call it, $25. It's silly to go to other countries and coming back home and you have to pay $25 to come in your own home. I think this is time that we stop these things. I think that we should mingle with other nations also. President Nixon recently went to Red China. He went to Moscow. He went to other called enemies' territory or communist territory. He opens up the door for everyone. I think we have just as much right to contact any other nation, because this message must be brought to the world at this moment. And we need to get our religious leaders from all over the country to meet with us also someday. This has also been prophesied. I just want to show you this passport that we made. This is the passport with the feathers in it, with the power from the Great Spirit, the spirit and the soul of our people and ever living things on this earth. And in it we have our pictures, and then the day, birth date and everything and like they're supposed to have. And on it we have written this statement. This passport is issued by the Kikmungis of the Hopi Independent Nation. It is valid as long as the sun shines, the grass grows, and the water flows. The bearer of this passport is a member of the Hopi Independent Nation and is a person who follows the spiritual path taught to the Hopi people by the Great Spirit at the beginning of this age. These were read by people in foreign countries, and we were allowed to go into this area. So we have signatures of two high leaders who have made this for us. And I want to thank all for coming here today, meeting with us, and we hope that the Great Spirit will tell us that we are doing the right thing, either by rain or lightning or something will show us. Before we depart, we want to tell you that we deeply appreciate the friendship that we created here among you people, and many of you who have been to the Hopi country, I know them. I'm very glad to meet them again. And especially I'd like to thank Zula Pringlehoff for putting all his spare time in making this make a most successful unit convention that we have all this time. And I'm sure that many of you will help her in every way she can, because she has really stood by us. And I know we are going through many trials and problems, and we're going to have to work at it. Of course, we are actually working for the Great Spirit, that we must not let go of this land and life, that we must not destroy it, but renew it again like it was at the end of this path, that if after we're purified, whoever survived this purification day, we'll all come together as one people. We all see Great Spirit standing before us. He will talk to us again. And here we will no longer have any more discrimination as far as religion or color of skin is concerned. We become as one people. We'll intermarry. They even say we may speak one language. Which language we'll be speaking from there on, we don't know yet. But these things are going to come about after the purification. And then everything will become new again. The rain will come in a red manner. Grass and flowers and all kind of fruit will come. And after that, there'll be no more money system. If I invent something, you take it. And if you invent something, I just take it. We exchange everything freely. And we will no more put fences around our yards and say, you stay away, this is mine. We're all going to share everything. Animals and birds out there are doing their good as far as his life is concerned, but mankind would like to corral himself in a small area and deny everybody else from use of it. Now, many of our people are homeless. We need your support in seeing that those lands are being held by these people and be developed in their own way according to this law of the Great Spirit. And that way we will revive the spirit of our people and the spirit of everything. Every living thing depends on us. So I'm sure that you will help in any way. And as I say, that if anybody would like to contribute any even quarter or dime or a dollar, as we need transportation, gas, and other repairs on our cars as they move from one to the other, we'll be glad if you could help in any way. Some of these people just barely got here, and now someone is standing at the gate, and you would contribute something there for their cause. I want to thank you again, and hope that someday some of you will visit us as man should and be one people. I will not tell you your religion is no good. I will not tell other people that their religion is no good, because all religion is just a way of life that we will bring us together and realize that we are the people of one Great Spirit. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
other times let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper.
Like a love.